Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Sox. Members FDIC.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
The ball hit deep, way back! Deep to left
field! Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark! You can't put it on the board! Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
You're listening to the Antarctic edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank. I say Antarctic because, Ryan McGuffey, it feels like Antarctica in Chicago, and the hot stove has been just as frigid. However, White Sox spring training starts in less than 2 weeks. Maybe, just maybe, things are starting to thaw with Machado and Harper. What do you think?
I mean, at some point, it has to. I mean, we are hitting February here. We've hit February, for all intents and purposes. And we are still debating the exact same topics we were debating in November. And we're still wondering if or when or at all.
I know there is fatigue out there by a lot of you, but at the same time, we're getting really close here.
Yeah.
We can't ignore this. That's guaranteed.
Yeah. Yes.
There is more news, which we're going to share in a minute, but I want to get back to some Antarctica stuff. So 8:30 in the morning, I look at my phone.
Yeah.
It was warmer in Antarctica than Chicago. It was negative 13 in Antarctica, negative 16 in Chicago.
Saw your tweet.
And then that got me thinking. You know, people listen to this podcast all around the world, and January has sucked for us weather-wise. It's been awful. So I wanted to see where people have been listening to this podcast throughout the world in warm climates to warm us up, maybe. And also give a shout out to all those listeners out there.
Some people were mad the last 24 to 48 hours when people would post like, you know, hey, look at this. And I know you were one of them. You have family.
I would never do that.
They're like, hey, too bad it's 75 here. I wouldn't do that either. That doesn't really annoy me that much because I'm like, yeah, you live in Phoenix and I know it's 72 here. Like those are the things I wonder, like,
don't rub it in.
The effort it takes to actually post that, is it really worth what you get out of it? But that's a good point. I'm really curious as to what are people suffering throughout that listen to this podcast, like in Denmark?
Yeah, well, no, there's a lot of cold. I didn't look at the cold climates. I looked at the warm climates.
Oh, you want warm climates.
Yeah, okay. But I there are some cold
ones.
I saw Russia. I saw Netherlands.
Wouldn't it be
Denmark.
Great, though, if somebody's in Denmark and it's like, it's actually sucked here, too, but I listen to the podcast and I feel warm because of it.
Okay, if you are listening somewhere internationally where it's freaking cold, really, really cold, send me a tweet at Chuck Garfine. Let me know. Here are the warm climates where in the month of January, people have listened to this podcast. Costa Rica, Australia, Jordan, literally in Jordan. We had like 10 listens in Jordan.
Really?
Yeah. Jamaica, Belize, the Cayman Islands. These are probably vacationing White Sox fans. Ecuador.
I have a question for you after this. Keep going.
Thailand, New Zealand, and Kenya.
Okay, so of those options, which one would you most like to be in?
Right now?
Yes.
Probably Australia. I've never been there before.
Never been there either. I would probably say Belize.
Yeah, Belize or the Cayman Islands.
Yeah.
Just saying the Cayman Islands.
I mean, there's no wrong answer, to be honest with you. We appreciate those listens in all of those spots. I do feel internally warmer because of that. You and I are doing this podcast both wearing stocking caps.
We are wearing stocking caps. Even in the studio, our newsroom is frigid cold.
It's
like the building's like, oh, no one's going to work today. We're not going to put on the heat. Well, some of us who work in television and stuff, we have to work. So we're here. How about we get to the news?
Let's
a lot of Bryce Harper news, and it all connects with Machado, and even JT Realmuto. But here's John Morosi, MLB Network, tweeting, Bryce Harper has four active suitors as February nears. Source confirms Nationals, Phillies, White Sox, and now the Padres. At least one other team remains involved on the periphery, but overwhelmingly, the likelihood is he's going to sign with one of those four clubs. We've been focused so much on Machado. You know, this Harper pursuit is still an option, a possibility for the White Sox. How realistic, I don't know. I don't know, but it's in the conversation.
It lines up with something I was told roughly before the Dominican, I believe, that the White Sox are still in on both. That there's been, you know, here's how we've basically covered this. All Harper, right? We got to the winter meetings. All Harper came out of the winter meetings. It was Machado. Like, everything just flipped to Machado. And we have been just, and for good reason, we've had our foot all the way down on the accelerator on Machado.
Because more Machado stuff has come out.
100%. Yeah. And, I mean, look at who the Sox have acquired, too. Right. I mean, it makes, there's a lot more arrows pointing to Machado than Harper. But there's never been the White Sox are out on Bryce Harper. There has, I guess, part of this, here we, you know, we're in February, and nobody has been ruled out yet. At some point, there's going to be, okay, the four is going to turn to two. The two's going to turn to one, hopefully.
They're all so connected. And we were talking beforehand, and there's the assumption, and I believed it, that Harper's going to wait for Machado to sign. But let's take a look at, the Phillies, and maybe even the White Sox. If you are really considering Manny Machado, okay, but you're going to wait for Harper to sign, then you're going to lose out on Machado.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like the Phillies, for instance. Okay, we really want Harper.
Yep.
And Harper's going to sign after Machado. Well, you better sign. Someone's got to sign Machado first. And if it's not you, you're sorry. You missed out on Machado.
That's why I question if the White Sox are, like, I think they're interested in Harper and they're in on Harper. But are they more in on Machado, and does that help them? Because if, let's say, I mean, we're sitting here speculating once again that Harper signing second or last. So if the Phillies want either or, and let's say they really want Bryce Harper, and it appears that they do, then it kind of, like, Phillies are okay by letting Machado go in some aspects because, all right, well, now they can go full go on Bryce Harper. Maybe the White Sox just want Manny Machado. It's an interesting, it's hard. It's actually really hard because you can put yourself in a bad situation by not playing the game the right way.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious to see how that might affect the decision-making in the end. Let's talk about the Padres. So they're reportedly meeting with Harper Thursday night in Las Vegas. The Padres, so I had been saying that I questioned the Padres' real interest in it because if they are willing to spend money on Machado and Harper, why weren't they willing to do it earlier? And I know you say, well, the market's come down. Still, it's a lot of money.
Yep.
And the San Diego Union Tribune, is that the name of the They came out with an article January 19th, saying that what's been different, what's been new, is that Padres owners who have owned the team for about 6 or 7 years, they took on a whole lot of debt when they bought the team, and they've refinanced $193 million of inherited debt, which gives them more flexibility to sign a Harper or Machado. This happened over the winter. That's why they're all of a sudden, a big reason why they are now possibly able to spend the money to afford one of these guys.
Yeah, I don't buy the argument that a team is now February 1st, 2 weeks from spring training, going, hey, look, the market's come down. The market has been down since this process started. So even if the market's come down, if you weren't really willing to spend $200 million, you're never going to be serious no matter what. But interesting find by you. The thing about the Padres that makes sense is that they kind of resemble the White Sox in a lot of ways.
They do.
In terms of what their timeline is, their realistic timeline to win, their farm system, they have 10 prospects in the top 100. So
they need a third baseman like the White Sox do for Machado. The Harper thing is...
Yeah, they already have a mess in the outfield. They have like seven guys for three spots right now, maybe six guys for three spots.
I got the names right here. Should I read them?
Yeah, go ahead.
Will Myers.
Yeah, we'll talk about him in a second.
I knew that was going to come up.
What's funny is that we have discussions in the newsroom before we come on, and then I was talking with you in the newsroom. I'm like, this is totally going to cover the podcast, and you just brought it up. All right, Will Myers, Manuel, I can't even pronounce some of this, Margot?
Yeah, I think it's Margot.
Hunter Renfro, I can say that. Franchi Cordero, Franmil Reyes, and Travis Jankowski.
So you put Bryce Harper in that mix, every name is expendable.
Yeah.
But how expendable? Well, Will Myers, we looked at. Will Myers is owed roughly $68.5 million after 2019. Mm-hmm. So I think he's on the hook for like five. He's owed $73 million for a guy who, coming off a 253 year, he's a 250 career hitter.
They made the wrong bet. All right. Rick Hahn gets, you know, blamed for trading Fernando Tatis Jr. And yep. A.J. Preller looks like a genius for that one, okay?
Yeah.
A.J. Preller signed Will Myers to that big old contract that
clearly
is
clearly backloaded,
him down.
Too. We looked it up. It's very heavily backloaded.
Okay.
Killing him.
Who did A.J. Preller trade to acquire Will Myers?
Some guy named Trey Turner.
Trey Turner.
Player to be named later.
He traded away Trey Turner, okay? Who did he sign last offseason? Scott Boras client, by the way.
Yeah.
Who had no suitors.
$144 million. Eric Hosmer. Yeah.
So this genius GM over there in San Diego has some, red checks on his resume.
Yeah, he does. I mean, quite frankly, we could probably go red checks on every GM if we really wanted to, like, break down organizations. The one thing, if I'm Manny Machado, that's very attractive to me is playing in an infield next to Fernando Tatis Jr.
Oh, yeah.
And playing in the climate of San Diego.
While we're wearing knit hats here in
New York. He loves Miami, born and raised there. He has a special spot there in Miami. He couldn't be further away from Miami than being in San Diego. They do train in Arizona in spring training. You know, we've talked about that. Obviously, the White Sox do, too. There's things to like about San Diego for both of these young players.
Yeah.
I just think there are more things to like right now. If we're talking about the White Sox, I just think the White Sox make the most sense for Manny Machado. I really do.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that with any bias. I just, when you line it all up and you look at all of the intangibles, and assuming money is the same, that's the one thing we have to assume. Assume money is the same. If it's $50 million difference, he's chasing the 50. I get it. But if you look at all the intangibles, the White Sox make absolutely the most sense.
All right, so I did bring up the financial flexibility, the newfound financial flexibility that the Padres seem to have, okay? They've got some, but not like the White Sox. So here we go. Payroll commitments going forward. Right now where we're at, 2019, the Padres have $80 million on the books. The White Sox have $84 million. After this, now this doesn't include arbitration numbers after
right.
this.
Correct.
Listen to the difference. Padres in 2020, financial commitments, $64 million. Then it's $44 million, then $43 million. White Sox starting in 2020, financial commitments, $15, $8,
$9. I mean, it's so
if the Padres
staggering.
Really want to be in on Machado, okay, and they want to flex their financial might, who's got a lot more financial might to flex? The White Sox. So if it comes down to money, I don't see how the Padres compete with the White Sox.
Let me pose a question to you.
Yeah.
Do you believe that the White Sox offer, and I don't think we know what it is, even though there's been suggested reports between 175 and 200 million, let's say, that the White Sox, that is their final offer? If it's between the San Diego Padres and the Chicago White Sox at the end of the day, and using that information you just gave us, it feels like the Chicago White Sox are in a pretty damn good
in
position.
In that competition, there's still the Phillies you have to consider, obviously, and is... What?
Well, what I'm saying, like, the Padres have already made mistakes in the last few years. James Shields was a horrific mistake. Obviously, they made up for it with a great trade, but they signed a pitcher really at that point that no one was really banging down the door for four years and $84 million. And they have another 100 and roughly $25 million owed to Eric Hosmer.
Yeah.
They have $68 million owed to
Will Myers.
The White Sox don't have these kind of commitments for big guys going forward over the next few years. I think at some point, if they make an offer to a Manny Machado, that it's probably close to their final offer. And if it's not their final offer, they don't have a lot of flexibility in that way to go up.
Okay, so here's the thing, and it goes back to what happens first. When do you make the final offer to Machado?
If you're who?
If you're the White Sox.
Yeah.
If you're in on Harper, okay.
Yeah.
When do you cut off and go, no, we're going to go at Machado?
How about this? Do you make an ultimatum?
It's going to have to be an ultimatum. Someone is, right? Well, maybe not an ultimatum, but there's a final offer and there's an ultimatum.
Yeah, but do you do the threat? Like, we need to know by February 15th?
Well, see, that's the thing the White Sox don't need to do.
Exactly. I was wondering that puts them in a great position.
Yeah.
It may be frustrating that they don't have a guy in camp that they're going to give the biggest offer to in franchise history or biggest contract to in franchise history. But because of where you are in this rebuild and where he would fit in going forward, you can wait till March 1st.
Okay, so now this is really unfolding in a very – something just crystallized to me. So what teams have the most financial flexibility and do not have to win right now and can wait? Who's three of the four teams left? Phillies?
Yep.
Padres, White Sox.
Yeah, Phillies a little bit more in win-now mode?
They are a little bit more.
Yeah.
But there's a little more pressure on them because they might have to do an ultimatum because if we don't get you, I got
to
go get Dallas Keuchel or Kimbrel or Marwin Gonzalez.
Yeah, but they kind of put themselves in a position, too, that they have to get one of the two anyway.
Right, so they're in a little more of an ultimatum.
Yeah.
Sox and Padres can be like, we're not going to get you this year. Okay, we'll find someone next year.
Yeah.
There's been the topic of will Harper or Machado sign a 1 or 2 year deal.
I don't see it. I don't see it unless they are going to do the ultimate gamble on themselves and try to get to the new CBA. So if you're doing a 1 year deal, you're basically doing like two 1 year deals to get to the new CBA that hopefully some of this mess of free agency gets figured out in that CBA. Yeah. And then you're betting on yourself again when you're 28.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a really big, just an enormous risk.
Yeah,
enormous
to me,
risk.
It's a 7, 8, whatever your deal you want to talk about with the opt-out in 3 or 4 years. There is the negotiating.
Yeah.
Money, years of total, the total length of the contract, and then where is that opt-out going to be?
Yeah, and I'm sure that they probably want it earlier than later because of where we are in free agency. Mm-hmm. But in order for the team, there's got to be insurance on both sides, I think.
Right, right, right. Kevin Acey of the San Diego Union-Tribune reports, Harper's meeting with the Padres is more extended due diligence. The Padres are more interested in Machado.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about the fit. Let me ask you a question here, too, because we haven't talked much about, you mentioned about Boris and Hosmer.
Yeah.
Do you think because of the relationship between Boris and the San Diego Padres that this is also kind of a formality of it's a quid pro quo thing where by meeting with the Padres, it puts pressure on the other teams that have already shown interest and met with Bryce Harper to say, okay, now there's another team in the mix that we know could come out of the blue and offer a big contract.
So the Padres are just doing this to help out Boris.
It seems asinine to think that.
Yeah.
But if you're another team looking at the Padres, you can't assume that because they signed Hosmer last year this time of year.
Right, right.
So you know that they can come in and swoop in. And last year, when they signed Hosmer, they were in a lot more in the red than they are now.
Well, as we sit here in the freezing cold, all right, and to me, the thought of playing in San Diego right now feels really good.
Yeah, it would be very attractive
to
me.
So on paper, Bryce Harper lives in Vegas. He might be wanting to play in L.A., but San Diego's right down the road, so to speak. I could see, I'm not getting the money I want in – okay. I don't think he wants to play in Philadelphia.
I don't either.
You're Bryce Harper.
You
have
Philly,
a choice between Philly and San Diego. I'm going to San Diego.
Bryce Harper out of this. You have a choice between Philly and San Diego.
Instead of signing a 9 or 10 year deal with the Phillies, I'll sign 4 years – With the Padres, give me $35 million a year.
Yeah.
If I'm Bryce Harper, I'm doing that.
Yeah. I still wonder if that's in the best interest of everybody. Is that in the best interest of – because the thing with a Boris client is he thinks about – it's not just about Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
It's about the message it sends to the rest of baseball.
But you know what
too.
He'll do? He'll be like, you know what? This was the best deal we could get under the circumstances. Baseball's broken.
Yep.
It needs to be fixed.
Yep.
I got the most money per year in the history of baseball for Bryce Harper. And maybe it's the White Sox. I mean, If you're the White Sox, would you sign Harper for 4 years?
Hell yeah. Exactly. Absolutely. I mean,
and you know, we're talking like Khalil Mack. How many years did he sign for with the Bears?
You threw this at me. I think it's six.
6 years.
I feel like I should look that up.
Yeah, look that up because we've just in baseball we're like, yeah, 10-year deal.
Yeah,
that's what they all should be. No, that's silly. Even though he's 26 years old, that's a lot of years. That's a big risk for a team to make. What's wrong with 4, 5 year, 6 year deals?
Nothing.
Fine.
Khalil Mack did sign a 6 year deal.
Okay. I haven't seen a six-year offer made maybe for Bryce Harper, but maybe it's a 5 or 6 year deal for Harper.
But the problem is, like, baseball, the free agency in baseball, it is broken. It's the most it's dragged out. The thing that's so great about football and basketball is, like, we know when free agency begins. It's, you know, in this business, we know it, like, midnight, tonight's the night. And for, like, those first 7 days, it's just a free-for-all. And then it's, like, the level C and D tier guys, they tend to drag out, you know, in the weeks after. I wish baseball had that same thing. Wouldn't it be great if the winter meetings was like kind of that first week? Free agency begins on Sunday of the winter meetings.
Ooh.
And it ends, it doesn't end, obviously, but there's like a negotiating period between the opening of winter meetings and the Friday before Christmas.
But here's the question. Would anything get done? Because right now, even if you have a date, I'm not sure you'd get the amount of.
I don't know. Something's wrong, though.
Yes.
Something's wrong. I don't feel bad for any of these. They're all professional baseball players. I do feel bad for the guys behind Harper Machado, though. The guys who have been hamstrung by what's going on all winter.
All connected. And Marwin Gonzalez.
No one wants to. No one doesn't. Like, these guys want to know. Like, the things that people, the fans, and all of us don't really think about is the human being aspect of this. These guys have families and wives and kids, and some are pregnant, and they're trying to figure out where they're going to live. None of these guys are going to have time to visit the cities they're going to be a free agent, you know, sign with.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
I'm glad you brought this up because I happen to print out all the free agent contracts that have been signed this offseason.
How many are there?
There's a lot, actually.
50?
And as things have trickled out, it seems like nothing's happened.
Yeah.
And
it's probably because of the names, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. But what's interesting to me is that, you know, people are talking about collusion. Money has been spent this offseason. I'm not saying record amounts, but almost some stupid money. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to list some of these. So Corbin signs, you know, 6 years, $140 million.
Yeah, I thought that was stupid money.
Okay, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Evaldi got 4 for $68. That's a healthy contract.
That's a postseason
Pollock
contract.
Pollock ended up getting 6 for $60. McCutcheon, 3 for $50. Zach Britton, who has not been healthy, 3 for $39. Happ got 2 for $34. Brantley got 2 for $32. Lance Lynn got 3 for $30.
The Texas Rangers were like, hey, we're going to give you, no one else is going to give you more than a 1 year deal. We'll give you 3.
I know. So some of these contracts, I mean, LeMahieu got 2 for $24. They're not long-term deals, but a lot of these guys are in their 30s, and they got 2 or 3 year deals. Nothing wrong with that. Josh Donaldson got 1 for $23. Yasmani Grandal, that was a weird situation. I don't know what. Apparently, he got a 4-year offer from the Mets and multiple teams, but he signs for 1 for $18.
Yeah, there's something we don't know there. Why you turned down 50 for 18? I don't know.
Yeah, but I just listed a whole bunch of contracts that, you know, they're not getting 5 or 6 year deals, but there's some healthy money behind it. At the same time, though, there are a bunch of guys who are going to get squeezed by what's going on.
That's why, like, I'm not sitting here saying I'm 100% on the player side.
Yeah.
Because I understand from an owner's and general manager's perspective is that at some point market correction had to happen because of what was happening to some of the 32, 33-year-old guys. It's like the Albert Pujols deal, that was a deal based off of what he had done in his past. And the moment he signed the contract, it was a bad contract.
And teams, I think that might have been the tipping point. Well, was that the tipping point?
It's pretty
They're
close.
They're not going to. I mean, teams aren't signing those contracts anymore.
Who am I thinking of? Josh Hamilton.
Oof.
I mean, that there's a lesson. So there are guys you can point
Prince
to.
Prince Fielder,
where you're
still paying them.
You're paying guys based off of what they've. Now, part of that's what free agency is about.
Right.
But you can't have the rights and control for a guy for 7 years. And then screw him when it's time for free agency.
Right.
So
Free agency has to happen sooner.
Something, yeah. What's going to happen is this prospect, you're not going to be able to overvalue your prospects like you can right now.
Right.
So you may get a 3-year window with prospects and have to pay them. Can you imagine paying Eloy Jimenez at like 23? That would suck.
Yeah.
But it sucks for Eloy Jimenez too to be a free agent at 28. I understand both sides big time.
Yeah.
Both points of view are right, but the way this is being handled is not right.
Yeah. One more thing on Machado here. According to The Athletic, the two sides, Padres and Machado, have discussed preliminary numbers, but an offer from the Padres is contingent on a sit-down. The Padres want to meet with Machado, and as of Wednesday, it hadn't even happened yet.
I've read that same piece. This is just pure speculation, yeah, reading between the lines, but does it seem to you like wouldn't Machado like be forcing that issue? Like, yeah, I'll meet with the Padres.
Yeah.
Or does it seem like, hey, we've called, we've kicked around the tires, but we can't get the guy in a chair face-to-face with us? Part of me kind of feels like maybe Manny's kind of done meeting with teams. Now, look, if the Padres called and said, we're going to offer you 10 for 300, you know, he's on a plane.
No. Okay, here's what I think happened.
We
want to meet with Machado. He's not meeting with us. Okay, Manny, we're going to go talk to Bryce Harper.
I don't think Manny Machado's bothered by that, though. Do you?
No. So someone told me at Sox Fest.
Lozano maybe might be bothered by
that. Someone told me at Sox Fest who knows Manny. This is just Manny wanting to get attention and wanting everybody all winter long to be talking about him.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I'm like, I don't think I like that part of Manny Machado, because he's making us crazy if that's the case.
I keep thinking of what Rick said a few times at Sox Fest, and it's like, we're annoyed and kind of angered and just worn out by all of this.
Rick said that?
No. Oh. He's kind of talking about just this wear and tear of the last 3 months.
Yeah.
But on July 20th, this is what Rick said. If Manny were to hit a walk-off homer, we're not going to be sitting here going, man, I would have been a lot better if we had signed on December 20th.
Yeah.
Now, if he doesn't sign, you know, I'm starting to at least – I'm just so done with it, even though we're not done with it, that I know that the fan base may be angry and upset, but the White Sox are going to be okay no matter what happens. They're going to be a lot better if they can land one.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't know. It's just something's got to happen here in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Do you believe this gets into March? Part of me does.
You got Boris.
Yeah, and Lozano.
Yeah.
Those two guys.
Yeah, it could. It could. But all it takes is one offer, one team to get this thing going. But we've been saying that since December.
This is where I just question at that point, where the a week into spring training,
No, I think that would be the line of demarcation, because at some point these players need spring training.
Yeah.
To be ready for the start of the season.
It's such a mental game, and it's
right.
Just like you're going to a new place.
It's not a pitcher.
No. Which spring training
right.
favors. They need pitchers need spring training.
Pitcher needs to get there sooner.
Yeah.
The hitter can wait a little bit longer.
But if you're going to a new place and a new organization for said number of years,
yeah,
you don't want to show up March 15th.
Right, right.
10 days before the season, be like, hey guys.
Do you think Alonso and Jay will be sending more, doing FaceTimes with Machado at spring training?
If he's not signed?
Yeah.
Damn right I do. Yeah. Yes.
I think I'll be covering that story in a couple
of weeks.
If
it happened at Sox Fest, it's going to happen at spring training.
Oh, man.
I mean, think about it.
Eesh.
Why wouldn't it?
Yeah. All right, so with the news that the Sox are still in on Harper,
yeah,
does it improve in your mind their chances of maybe getting him? Because he's kind of, in a way, been out of sight, out of mind with me and the White Sox with Harper.
I've never thought, I don't know if they improve. I think they stay the same. I think Bryce Harper was extremely moved by the White Sox pitch. Extremely is italicize and bold that, mm-hmm, and capitalize.
That's
extremely.
What you were told.
And to the point where he's still extremely moved by it. Now, what would put that over the top is a certain amount of dollars, I'm sure. But, you know, I think the White Sox are very much in play. It's just, at some point, the true line of demarcation is some team's going to get desperate. And it might be the Phillies.
Right.
It might be somebody that's like, I just can't take it anymore. What's it going to take? Let's get it done.
All right, this is
but
my.
The Sox won't be.
Here's my conclusion. I'm making it right here, right now. Who does Scott Boras work best with? What owners?
Washington Nationals
and the San Diego Padres.
Correct.
It'll be between those two teams for Bryce Harper. That's what I think. The Padres.
I'll go with the Nationals. Then if that's the pick.
Yeah, yeah.
If that's true.
Okay. But the Nationals have to make a call at some point.
Now, does that worry you about the White Sox? But the Phillies.
For Machado.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think Machado or Harper want to go play in Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't.
I think Keuchel's going to go back to Houston. Ooh. I think Kimbrel ends up going to the Phillies. Because the Phillies are like, we didn't get Harper, we didn't get Machado. Okay, give us Craig Kimbrel. We got all this money to spend. Here's some stupid money. We have a great closer now.
Well, that would make me happy because that would give me another point in our predictions podcast.
Yeah, I mean, this could go in so many different ways. But the Boras thing, like, I think at the end of the day, it comes down to, okay, the White Sox going after Harper. I don't know if the trust is there with Reinsdorf and Boras, Boras and, you know, the Padres and, you know.
And the other thing that would be fun to keep an eye on is Rick saying that there are 3 to 4 moves to be made that could be made.
Yeah. This was going to be our podcast,
in the coming weeks. And, you know, maybe 3 or 4 of those moves, maybe Harper and Machado are 2 of them. So there's another 1 to 2 moves.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're 1 of them.
Bullpen move, starting pitcher move. Possibly a trade for an outfielder.
I would, I'm going to go ahead and agree with all of that.
I think that's those, and then Harper Machado.
I think possibly a trade for either of what you just said, outfielder or pitcher.
Okay, well, you know what? I've got a list of relievers here.
Okay.
There's some good ones, man.
I know.
Some good ones. Okay, Kimbrel, obviously. By the way, Tony Sipp had a 1.86 ERA. He had an ERA of 0 in September. Lefty specialist.
Ooh,
give me that.
Houston, really, you're right.
Yeah.
Houston? Yeah.
Yeah. What is he still doing out there?
Well,
he's not Kimbrel.
Because guys are just hanging. Like, Ottavino just signed, for God's sakes.
I know. Warren, he's out there, 3.14 ERA with the Yanks and Mariners.
Swingman.
Ryan Madsen, great in 2017, not so much in 18. Tyler Clippard, guess how many teams he's played for since 2014?
When was he on the White Sox? What, 17?
Yeah, it was the year of the Robertson trade.
I will say 6.
Since 2014, Tyler Clippard has played for 8 teams. It's going to be 9 once he signs. Sergio Romo, he had 25 saves for the Rays last year.
Quietly.
Yeah. Bud Norris, 28 saves.
No, I don't want Bud Norris.
He's been on 6 teams since 2015.
He's been snitching for all of them.
Brad Boxberger, a lot of strikeouts, a lot of walks.
Former Yonder Alonso teammate.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys out there. So we'll see what happens. Harper, Machado, sorry if we've worn you out with it, but this is something we got to talk it through. You know, it's
good for you. It's not just good for you guys out there listening. Chuck and I need therapy too.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
This is what we do. We pay each other to be each other's therapist.
Yeah.
That's what.
Yeah, our White Sox therapist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is White Sox therapy once a week for us as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like the Sox chances. I put it 50-50 for Machado. The fact that, you know, they're still sniffing around with Harper.
50, we've talked, 50-50 is as high as it's kind of the high water mark because you get to a coin flip and that's the best you can ask for.
That's what this is for Machado.
It's a coin flip.
Yeah.
Yep.
Some days I'm at 60-40, sometimes I'm at 40-60.
I've said it a while ago. I'm going to keep 50-50 is as high as I can go, and I'm at 50-50. And I'm not going to. Until I'm told otherwise, I'm at 50-50.
All right.
I still feel like I feel 51-49 because I feel good. I feel good about Machado.
You do feel?
I do. I feel good.
I feel good.
I feel really good. I feel really good about
it. You know what? I feel good because it's now 1 degree in Chicago.
It feels
like -6. Look at this.
Do you feel like by us talking about this, it helped the process of the temperature? We should have looked it up at the beginning of the podcast.
To see if it really warmed up.
Yeah. Well, it's warmed up since the morning. We know that much.
Yeah, but I mean, That's a heat wave, 1 degree. And by the time you're listening to this, it might be up to 2 degrees.
There's a strong chance. I was looking to see if, because at some point we mentioned this, it's going to happen. News will break while we're doing the podcast, but I think
no news.
It won't be today.
Okay. And if you're listening in Jordan or Jamaica or Belize or the Cayman Islands, good for you. I'm happy for you.
Send a picture to the tweet.
Yeah.
At Chuck Garfine, at Ryan McGuffey.
That's how we'll know.
Send a picture with an umbrella in your drink if and you were, blue if, water behind you.
Okay. If you're either there now or if you were the person who was there in January.
Yeah,
I want you'll a have a time stamp.
Yeah, you'll have a picture. Exactly.
If you were somewhere warm listening to this podcast in the month of January or somewhere really cold,
yeah,
it can't to,
yeah,
be, it's to gotta be fair, international. It can't be like be, Chicago. We know
yeah,
what
no,
that
if
feels
you're like,
like
in Oslo, you know, send us, yeah, send us a selfie.
I want it. All right, that'll be a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. Hawk Harrelson, take it away.
Thanks, our Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over.